Previously on the Dollar Bin, none of this upcoming stuff.
As stated earlier, the topic of discussion that we're going to have is a Watchmen movie, which is a rather hot topic right now. I actually recently read a review on the Watchmen movie where the reviewer said he wasn't going to review it because there was enough Watchmen reviews already out there.
He must not want the the free hits like everybody else does. This is a movie that is, it made really good money in its midnight showings, like $5 million or something like that, which is a lot of money for one show, not everywhere. I think Jay Chris said when we were doing the show, his portion of the show, that it made 25 or something like that Friday. I don't think at this point, because we don't know, I mean, Adam and I are recording this on Saturday.
Yeah.
Some of the voicemails are from Thursday, Friday, that we're going to play for you, some of the other contributors we have.
Yeah.
But, you know, Saturday's as far into this as we're talking about. So there's no way to know how well this thing's going to do money-wise. Obviously, from pre-sales, it's doing very well. It's going to have a really good first weekend, especially for an R-rated film. And how horrible our economy is. But I don't think that it's... I don't think it's a polarizing topic, although the reviews are really starting off that way. You know, like Rotten Tomatoes, it's like hovering around 60-something percent, which, you know, means down the middle as far as what people are liking, especially for that site.
Yeah.
Because you'll have bad movies at that site that'll be in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at some of the reviews that I've looked at, you know, some people... Like the guy from the Chicago Times gave it like a 10 out of 10. Ebert gave it like 4 out of 4. The Rolling Stones guy gave it really high. You know, there's named people that are giving it really high marks. But then on the other side of that, there's named people as well that are saying that they don't like it. They don't think it's a good – like they're not reviewing it like we – like a lot of us will talk about it from a comic book standpoint.
But they're just as movie reviewers. As a movie standpoint,
there's a lot of people also saying that this may be – they haven't read the book. This may be a great transition, but they don't think it's a good movie.
Yeah, CNN.com had a review that was basically ripping – just ruining it as a good movie, as a – not a good movie.
Yeah.
And
I'm not expecting this to be as huge a deal as maybe people were, as maybe Warner Brothers was hoping for. But at this point, it's a lot more mixed than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And something that surprised me too is the differences in opinion with comic book people.
Yeah.
Because the first stuff that I started seeking out, except for you and Rochelle, the first group of comic book people either were really wary about commenting about it because they didn't like it and didn't want to say anything further than they were really iffy about it or didn't really like it, or they just flat out said, I don't like this movie.
It's funny.
And then people who hadn't read the comic were saying that they liked it.
It's funny. Walking out of the theater when I saw it, everybody was talking about how much they didn't like it. And I didn't say a word. It was like the opposite for me.
Yeah.
Whereas like everyone was like, oh my God, this was so off and wide. It was blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, I'm not going to say a fucking word because I don't want to get in this discussion right now. I'm saving it for the show. And occasionally on blogs and comment postings.
Not only that, but remind everybody of our Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Also, the thing I was worried about is when we did our Spider-Man 3 show, I really enjoyed Spider-Man 3. And then a couple months later, watched it on DVD, and I couldn't even finish watching it. It was so bad. And I was afraid that it was going to be the same with this. But
and the funniest thing about that, too, is like from your standpoint is Adam and I probably spent half an hour in the parking lot with me dumbfounded that Adam gregariously loved that movie, and I could not fathom anyone that I spoke to regularly being able to like that movie in that fashion.
Yeah.
But so thankfully, I mean, it was already where you're getting out. Did you see that one at midnight too?
No, we saw that one. We saw that one at Free Comic Book Day all together. You
mean your Watchmen viewing, was that at midnight too? Or
no, it was at 9 o'clock.
Okay,
but
at least you didn't have the discussion. Didn't have a knockdown drag out with some of the hero staff in the parking lot at midnight.
No, everybody pretty much left still though. As soon as the movie was over, we kind of talked and walked
to be angry in their own homes.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people like I can name drop a little like. Well, Sean, she still doesn't know how she feels about it. She wants to see it another time before she really decides, but has been stated that the longer the distance between having seen the movie she goes, if that made sense at all. I don't know if this is the proper stringing of words I should have used, but she likes it more. The more it sinks in, the more she likes it. Not to say that she said that she does like it yet, but the more it sinks in, I know Seth at Heroes had said something about, I think he was kind of just like, oh, that soundtrack sucked, and he didn't really, he's kind of down on it, but then the next day felt a lot better about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he like dreamt, had a dream or something that, but he did feel better about it. And then also, I know, I didn't get to talk to Daniel from Heroes afterwards, but Daniel was just like up in arms, adamantly hated that movie. I can quote him. Well, I don't know if I can quote him, but I will quote him, paraphrase him, and saying that everything from the Jailbreak on just utterly sucked. He hated the rest of the movie. He said it was okay up until the Jailbreak, and then he hated it. He also did not like the late night Cinemax-ness of it.
Yeah, I will say that when I first watched, I didn't do one of the midnights. Didn't have any interest in that.
Jeez.
I went Friday, like, at noon.
I'll get into my midnight adventure later.
Speaking of J. Chris Campbell. I watched it at, like, noon Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And still pretty, you know, decent crowd for that time of day. There's still 20 or more people in the theater. When the credits started rolling or whatever, and I was sitting there, I wasn't like, man, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wasn't saying, man, that was horrible either. I really didn't know.
Yeah.
I think the reason why I give it a positive review is that any problem I have with it doesn't deter from the fact that I enjoyed watching it.
Is it petty and superficial?
And some of it is petty and superficial. Yeah. I mean, some of it is nitpicky.
Yeah.
The problems that I had with it, and we'll get into that more. You know, where we kind of say what we had in particular problems with.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I mean, at this point, if you said, hey, it's on sale,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would go buy it.
Yeah.
I do know that I want to watch it again to kind of formulate my idea. I don't know that I'd pull a J. Chris and, like, see it three times in 4 days. But, and it's not like The Dark Knight, where having immediately watched it, I immediately thought, when can I go see this again?
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that. I just think I'll watch it again eventually
mm-hmm.
to, I guess, formulate my thoughts further.
Well, being what that whole, I will probably be purchasing the extended director's cut.
Yeah, that's something I have interest in too, because some of the stuff that people are, that I have seen people say that they had a problem not being included, I don't know that it's not there.
Yeah.
Because Snyder has promised that he had to cut several times for Warner Brothers to end it. I mean, it's 2:45 or 3 hours or whatever already. Now Warner Brothers had said that if it was a huge blockbuster, mm-hmm. they might release the director's cut in theaters.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd watch that, because 3 hours is a long time to go to the bathroom and to just sit in those, you know, chairs.
I don't know if it was one of our somebody. It might have been on Rochelle's blog on Living Between Wednesdays. But somebody had said something, whatever happened to intermissions? I mean, when you go to a play, you get fucking intermission.
Yeah.
And they're 3 hours long, you know? What? Let's have an intermission in the movie or something.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, if he adds, even if it adds 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's 30 more minutes. My ass was ready to get up.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't enjoying the movie, but I was ready to not be sitting there, and I needed to go to the bathroom. But if there's a director's cut, I would definitely buy that version of DVD before I would buy whatever else. I don't have any interest in the Black Freighter.
Yeah.
Animated. Well, you know, if anybody goes out and buys that, please let us know how it is. You know, I doubt there's going to be a dollar bin review on it, unless Warner Brothers finally wants to put me on their comp list, which they should, bastards.
One of the things that I want to say is I can easily cut approximately 15 minutes from that long-ass movie. And I can tell you exactly what I would cut.
All right, what would you cut?
Every fucking Nixon scene. They were useless. They were useless and they were long. And the argument that I have, the argument that was made to me, was those scenes are supposed to show people that, you know, the threat is imminent. Like, nuclear war is imminent. It's right there. It's right around the corner. That's what fucking newspaper headlines are for. That's what radio background, TV background stuff is for.
Montage.
We don't, well, not even montage as much, but like in The Watchmen, none of that shit's in the book. There's newspaper headlines. Of course, there are discussions with like the guy that owns the newspaper stand and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like they didn't show newspaper headlines in the movie. Like, seriously, why the fuck was that Nixon stuff in there? It was because they had an actor who was playing Giant Nose Nixon. And the nose.
Really very well.
Yeah. And like.
Especially if you saw Frost Nixon. That's a great Nixon. That's a, you know, Academy Award nominee Nixon impression.
Yeah.
The guy, whoever played him in The Watchmen, that was not an Academy Award Nixon presentation.
Easily did not have to be in that movie. The only reason it was in the movie is another one of those hand-holding things to help the idiots realize that war is imminent.
Yeah, I mean, like
15 minutes gone.
I think there are multiple instances in the movie where it deters, takes a detour.
Deeters?
From the from the subject matter.
Yeah.
Because it's doing some hand-holding.
Yes.
Maybe it's studio-requested hand-holding. Maybe it's just Snyder thinking this is what I need to do for the movie.
The hammer is
sort of
my penis.
Situation. There's several instances of that, and you know what? The Dark Knight got scolded for not doing enough of it, which I think is silly.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all.
But you know, there are people who will complain if they have to think in their movie,
yeah.
Which I think is retarded. But nevertheless, I can understand why they do that stuff, and yes. As somebody who can think and watch a movie at the same time and sometimes prefers it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need that stuff. I'd like to be able to figure out what's going on. If you're not paying attention, what are you watching it for in the first place? Yeah, I mean, but, you know, some of the other hand-holding that I didn't like, too, is we touched somewhat with Jay Chris about the violence. I think that all of the fight scenes had a bit of that in it. I really enjoyed the way the movie opens. The scene where Blake is killed was obviously a more extended version than what's in the book, but I thought it was excellent. And Rorschach's first monologue, first journal entry, was great. I mean, it's spot on and almost word for word. I don't think it could have started off any better, but some of the other physical scenes I thought were, well, you know, this is a blockbuster, you know, superhero movie. We've got to have some action and somebody's got to get shot and somebody's arm has to be broken into 30 pieces right in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Look, titties. You know, it's got, you know, some of that stuff. I thought that, all right, this is not necessary for telling the story properly. You're pandering to make a movie.
Yeah.
Which we can debate how much of that stuff is necessary, you know, forever.
Right.
And have people with different
opinions.
I do think, though, that the Nixon stuff didn't add anything. I think you could have done montages or a simple TV report or a variety of things and gotten the same thing across and shaved that time off.
Shit's going to get blowed up.
It's bad, folks. But you could have just established that clock and had and it tick away again.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I think stuff got worse. You know?
Yeah.
Pretty sure, you know, a 13-year-old could pick up on that.
Yeah. I mean, and I'd like to talk to the editor and say, okay, when things had to hit the cutting room floor, why is this in the movie?
Yeah.
Why did this not make it, you know? But I mean, do you have any other things before we get into like some of the arguments of the forum or anything? Cause I have an argument. I have one more thing. Since you didn't answer right away.
Snatched away.
On Rochelle's blog. Rochelle wrote pretty good spoiler-free review, which you're not getting from us. And
Go to her blog.
Go to her blog. And somebody commented on her blog two things. One being, I can't even remember the first. Something about the ending and how... And I have an argument for this, too. But something about the ending. I'm not getting into that one right now.
Yeah, we'll discuss the ending perhaps at our ending.
But the other argument that he made was that if anything, what the movie did for him was show him how dated the book Watchmen is, because the whole fear through that entire movie is the threat of nuclear war, which this day and age we don't really have to worry about. I want to know if he ever turns on a TV.
Is he also from Canada?
Maybe.
I mean, they don't have a military, so they don't really think stuff like that's important.
But are you kidding me? Really? We don't have a threat of nuclear war nowadays. It's not a problem.
Oh, we don't. Now it's weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, sorry. So we're not all flipping out because Iran might have a nuclear bomb soon, or that fucking North Korea does have a nuclear bomb? Hello. Do you watch TV?
I think.
What kind of argument is that?
To a certain extent, I'll give it a little bit of relevance.
No.
Not. Back then, being, you know, so much older than you.
I mean, just because we don't drop under tables and cover our heads because we know that won't fucking stop us from being nuked.
But being so much older than you, I remember
so much
that
older.
being like a constant reminder. Like every night on the news.
I remember the Cold
stuff
War.
Like that, people were talking about that. And now there's so much stuff. Like now our news
We have 24-hour news channels.
Yeah, but
now,
what do they talk about? It's all partisan. Like if you turn to the Democratic news channel, then they're talking about, you know, this. And if you turn to the Republican, they're talking about this. And it's not so much the fear anymore.
Shouldn't they be talking about that? This and that.
You can get with this. You know what I mean? So to a certain extent, I'll agree with him that it's not in the forefront of people's mind.
Yeah.
But that's not because it's not there.
It's because we're used to it.
It's because people, it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, people will go crazy about, you know, whatever's happening with whatever else is being shoved down their throat.
Yeah.
At that time, but that's not being shoved down their throat.
Why
right
is
now.
Rihanna still with Chris Brown?
Exactly. Why is she still with him? He beat her up so bad. How could you go back?
Great googly boogly.
Because Kanye said we all make mistakes, and we should forgive him and Michael Jackson and OJ and Michael Phelps. Because they all just made one mistake, but they're awesome besides that. I think Michael Phelps, I mean, I am as, you know, pick on the potheads, anti-drug guy as possible. But how did Michael Phelps, in that conversation that he had, get roped in with a guy who beat the shit out of his girlfriend, a murderer, and a child molester? The boy smoked pot. That is nowhere in the same. That's not if that was a supervillain group. Michael Phelps could not get in that supervillain group. That's like the Legion of Doom and the guy that Spider-Man picked up stealing pizzas.
Yeah, that was my other big argument that
I had. There's a sidetrack for you.
other than some of our forum, because a lot of my other arguments that I've had are also in some of the forum discussions that I've been holding back on. So, but that's the only other one outside of forum discussion.
I think that most of the stuff that I was looking for in the movie, like you made the comment that everything you thought to yourself going into it is, man, this better be in the movie, was there.
Yes.
I didn't necessarily have any of that because I went in expecting, I guess, to be disappointed because, you know, as you might have heard, I'm a pessimist.
I expected to be disappointed, too. My review is I was surprisingly happy.
But not... I was surprisingly not pissed. But I wasn't going in expecting, like, this has to happen for me to like this.
Yeah.
Or I really want this to be in there. I didn't really have any forethought about that. But what happened was, is the movie... I thought the movie opened so well... as I mentioned just a minute ago, especially with one of my favorite things about Watchmen is the narrative that you get from some of the characters, from Rorschach's journal entries. And one of my favorite things in the book is Dr. Manhattan's, the pages where he's talking to himself on Mars.
Yeah.
Really like that. And really like that about Moore. Some of my favorite stuff with Moore is just him having a character talk, like a long narrative, a long speech or something like that, where he's just having a character talk.
It's my life, man.
And the Rorschach stuff opened so well in that vein and even continued to have some really good moments where he's basically talking from the book, that when it got to the point where Manhattan was on Mars, man, I was expecting that to be exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it that he didn't follow through with that, but that's being nitpicky. Because it's not that I thought that scene was bad. It's not that I didn't think he did it well. He just didn't do it to my satisfaction.
Yeah.
So, you know, the analogy I use with Adam is that's like, you know, you go to see your favorite band play and they didn't play one of your favorite songs when they have 100 songs that they've released, you know.
Come on. You know who you used in your example.
I used Paul McCartney. I said, I used a bad example because I said if he didn't play Hey Jude, I'd be pissed. But motherfucker better play Hey Jude. That's a bad example. That's like when we went to go see Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And there's lots of stuff that Pearl Jam didn't play, but there was nothing I walked out of. Like, I really would have liked to hear them play State of Love and Trust.
Yeah.
But they didn't play that, and I didn't really care.
Yeah. One of the other things, on top of that, just before we get it, we're getting there. I swear we're getting to it.
Phone calls and more after the break.
Everybody pretty much has positive things to say about Rorschach.
Yes.
His performance. Going into this, in the trailers and everything, I was like, God, I am not going to like Rorschach's voice. It's another fucking shitty Batman gravelly thing. 10 minutes in the movie, I didn't give a shit. It was fine. He did a great job. I did not get the piece of shit that I thought I was going to get.
You watch your mouth when you refer to Christian Bale.
Or he'll yell at me.
Yes. I'll yell at you. Block my scene, you son of a bitch. One of the things that that Adam and I talked about today as we're driving around Greenville,
lost.
lost
in the town that I've lived in for 2 years now.
It was like none of the performances other than Rorschach really stood out as being, man, that was a great acting job. Yeah. Rorschach had to stand out, though.
Yeah.
Like, that had to be the character that everybody comes out of that movie, not necessarily liking, but he's such a big part of the movie and telling the story.
Yeah.
Just like the book, he has to be the character that most people identify with as being the storyteller. From the for the rest of the cast, though, nobody stood out as being really bad to me. Nobody stood out also as being really good either. To a certain extent, everybody else is just kind of there. The only thing that I will say is Billy Crudup's performance, because only half of it is him, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's animation and technology.
Uh-huh.
For a lot of that, I really got more out of him than I thought. Like, they didn't alter his voice, and I thought it was still really good.
Yeah.
I thought his delivery was really spot on, and just his delivery of things, it's kind of like a guy in a suit, and he did a performance that I noticed as being everything I wanted out of Manhattan, despite the fact that it's only half him, basically.
Yeah.
So I'll give him kudos for doing that, because a lot of people, when they play something that's not fully them, you don't come out of the theater saying anything about them unless they're Ray Park and did some somersaults and then got chopped in half.
I was actually going to bring up Ray Park when you were talking about the guy in a suit, but I did.
But I'll give him, and I think he's a really good actor. He's done a lot of things that I've liked him in. Really looking forward to him playing a fast talker in Public Enemies. But other than those two, and what's her name's Bress. nothing really stood out to me as a tremendous performance in the movie.
Yeah, on the other, on like the same, like the flip side of that card, I guess, or whatever the fuck it is. When I watched the movie, other than Rorschach being really good, and even Dr. Manhattan being just awesome, because, man, that's like one of the questions is like, who do you most look forward to seeing brought to life on the screen? And like, everybody was like, Rorschach.
Yeah, 95% Rorschach.
I was like, really? I mean, like, really? Okay, Rorschach is awesome and all, but I really wanted to see them successfully pull off Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
So, but beside the point, my point is, I did not notice any bad performances in that movie.
No,
I did not notice any bad acting. So many people, and we'll get to them even, complained about bad acting, especially in the Silk Spectre. I did not notice it. I didn't even notice bad acting at all. I mean, of course, when I go to watch it again, now that everybody's said it, I'm going to look for it, and then I'll let you know like if what I think of, honestly, then. But I didn't notice it watching it.
I have kind of a theory.
I didn't care.
I have kind of a theory about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this could devolve into a Watchmen book theory.
Mm-hmm.
But the Watchmen, when I read it as a book, I view everybody in that book as not being a good person. Like, all of these heroes all have serious personality flaws and defects.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are what you would say is your classical hero, where they're doing it for reasons bigger than themselves. They're doing it because they're so traumatized by their life, like Rorschach, that that's how they're lashing out at things. They're Ozzy, who thinks that he is the smartest person on the planet. And, I mean, that's Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he's the smartest person on the planet, and, you know, the world's a mess, and he just needs to rule it. I knew I'd get a Dr. Horrible reference in here somewhere. Although, hey, Neil Patrick Harris, he'd have killed that. You know, so he's not doing anything from a pure standpoint. Night Owl is somebody who didn't want to be, who's a rich kid who didn't want to be normal, so chose that life and then hid from it and made himself impotent to a certain extent, or to a literal extent.
Impotent or impotent?
Impotent. Well, you know, it's never happened to me, so I can't say or spell it. I'm here all week, ladies. You know, he's not a solid character either. You know, like Rorschach calls him out as being a coward.
Man,
you know, than one occasion. Spectre is, in the book, to a certain extent, she's overly emotional about everything and not wanting to understand anybody's point of view about anything because it's not hers. You know, she doesn't care about what her mother thinks about something. She doesn't care about every, like, in John even, you know, Manhattan calls her out in the movie for this.
Yeah.
I don't think he does in the book about, you complain that I can't see things your way, but you've never tried to figure out things from my point of view.
Yeah.
And her character is also tremendously flawed as well. I think that her being less emotional instead of overly emotional was, I think they did that on purpose for the movie. I think that Night Owl and Spectre were meant to be the quote-unquote heroes of the movie.
Yeah.
And the book has no heroes. I think they're both painted as being better people in the movie than they are in the book.
True.
So I think some of her lack of emotion was done on purpose because she's such a huge drama queen in the book. That's just my theory, though.
One more thing I want to throw out there is the relationship between Night Owl and Rorschach is awesome. It's played very well.
Yeah.
The Rorschach between the relationship between those two characters. All right. So there's been some discussion on the forum about the Watchmen movie. I believe Terry actually started the thread because Terry fucking loved it. Which
you can hear in Terry's message about what he thought about the movie now.
Dollar Ben, what's up, guys? It's Terry. I just left the theater having seen Watchmen. Wow. I watched it in IMAX. So, yeah, that was quite an experience. Huge, beautiful, beautiful movie. I don't think I have any complaints. Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it, which, if you haven't, what's wrong with you? Anyway, they changed the ending, but it's a change that I'm actually kind of happy with. It's more faithful to the story than almost the squid was. It makes more sense to me that Dr. Manhattan would have been used as the weapon of Armageddon instead of a giant squid. Kudos. I don't know what to say besides wonderful, 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 wonderful. Great movie. 5 out of 5. All right, guys. Thanks. Later.
Basically said the same thing on the forum. Terry basically said the same thing on the forum, and he kicked us off with that positive review. I agreed with pretty much everything Terry said. Next, we had Can't Wait for the Podcast, Catch It This Weekend, Captain Genius.
I had him printed out these comments.
Sarcasm.
Specifically, until V posted like a page and a half, Adam wanted to print out the forum comments just so he could banter with Captain Genius from the forum about what his comments are. And he did not like it.
All right. No, Captain Genius did not like it. You can read the full detail of his comments on the forum. I'm going to skim through here and just pick out some of the points that I would argue. And maybe Brian will, you know, support or argue. We'll see how it goes. So his first thing that he says is that the book or this story is a murder mystery without the mystery. One of the things we talked about with J. Chris Campbell was, is there a mystery? And, you know, there's probably a little bit less of a mystery than there is in the book, but
basically kind of what I said with J. Chris, and I know this sounds like a cop out, but you know, people, I'm generally not Miss Sally Sunshine, but you know, that book was a 12-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
And even at almost 3 hours, the movie's not as much time as that book. I'm not sure how you add to that to make the mystery any more. You know, it's one of those things, too, where when you know how something is going to end, when you get there, it's not going to be the same as somebody who isn't. You know, yeah. Jay Chris said that he was surprised, you know, said that he thought it was leading somewhere.
Yeah. But he also said that there wasn't really a reveal. It was just something like, oh, that's it?
I mean, it wasn't like a huge, like, you know, James Bond moment or anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm agreeing with him, but I'm also saying that I don't have any idea how they could have made it more, because all of us were always going to know who it was anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like watching something on Classic Sports. You know, if you know the score of the game is going to be 21-14, is it the same thrill ride as if you didn't know what it was?
And okay, all right. So I've been reading. I wasn't listening to you. I was reading all this stuff, but I will say that he does say that most of the film was great. He really hated the ending, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
We pointed out the extended sex scene was worthless, and he didn't like the kung fu fighting. But we kind of already talked about some of that stuff. Yeah. The big thing that he has here, and we'll get into the actual discussion of the ending itself in a little bit later, because everybody had something to say about that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so he says it's the murder mystery without a mysteries, and he says, okay, we know the where and the when, even the how. It's the who and the why that's important here, except the why never seems to come up. And then he just says it's a cape killer, but it's not a cape killer. That's not what it was at all. I don't see where he gets that from. I mean, we do know why. It was because
I'll agree with Jay Chris.
Yeah.
And in the same way, agree with CG a bit, and because the reveal isn't a dun-dun-dun moment.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of glosses over.
I don't think it has to be a dun-dun-dun moment.
I don't think it does either, but when the movie went out of its way to spoon-feed other things.
Yeah.
Why didn't they spoon-feed the ending of the mystery?
That's a good question. I mean, but then again, my argument is I don't think half the shit should have been spoon-fed.
I think it would have made more sense if he would have emphatically said...
Yeah.
He kind of alludes, I guess, to Blake knew what was going on, and he was cracking, and he shows... Like, they show the scenes with him and Moloch, or however you say his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Mulva. He shows a scene of him kind of cracking up and that kind of stuff, but you don't know if that's because he was part of Vedit's plan or if he had figured it out and Vedit was worried about him telling on him.
That's basically what it sounded like to me. It said he was working for the CIA, the comedian was, and his job was to monitor Osmosis Jones or Ozzy.
Alcatraz Jones and the Deadbeats.
Okay, but that was what they were saying. He was working for the CIA. It was his job to monitor him, and he found out his evil master plan. And he was like having a crisis of what the fuck do I do?
What should he do about it?
Right. And so Ozzy just fucking killed him. That's what it was. That's what triggered Rorschach's whole thing. I don't see how they didn't explain that. I thought they explained that very much just like that.
I guess maybe Jay Chris and CG just didn't get it the same obvious way that you did. And for me, my standpoint still is kind of, I already knew, that reveal wasn't a big deal to me. It's because I always knew where the movie was going to go from the beginning. So getting to that point was not the important part to me.
Exactly. And I think the same thing was for me.
Yeah.
And that might have been, I mean, I took for granted that he even explains it. He explains that's what it was. The idea, I don't think the Watchmen is this big mystery of the whodunit. I think the Watchmen is a fucking story of stories. That is just one story, one thread in the giant thing. And I think that's what triggers it. I think that's what triggers the story. That's where we pick up.
Yeah.
That's where we start. But I don't think that the fact that Ozzy's the one that killed the comedian is really fucking important. I don't. I think it's just something that triggers the adventure that we go on for 18 hours.
Because to a certain extent, you know, one of the underlining things you have to remember, too, is that none of the characters actually give a shit about the guy that got murdered.
Right. And not even Rorschach. He just wants to know what's going on.
Yeah,
and he thinks it's a cape killer. It's not a cape killer. He just thinks that's what it is. And then they find out it's not really the case.
It's not like, you know, this isn't like the Super Friends and somebody murdered Batman and the Justice League is going to go track somebody down for a righteous ass kicking. they really are just kind of being kind of dragged along,
right,
against their will to a certain extent with this story.
And you know, I don't even think
Rorschach is the only one that's actively trying to figure any of this out. Everybody else is kind of along for the ride.
And I don't even think Rorschach even really gives a shit that it's a cave killer. He's killing capes. He just wants to figure this shit out.
Well, he just
it's just what he does. It's just what Rorschach does.
You know, what is it? I forget the line that he used. I don't feel like flipping through the book, but you know, he just wants the punishment to be done. He wants, you know, whatever the he wants there to be a he wants closure. Rorschach wants closure.
Okay, let's see. I'm jumping back in on Captain Genius here. I start to wonder what's going on and how it relates to the comic. It's annoying, but it's interesting. Okay, he's talking about the whole island thing, the people on the island, which isn't in the movie. It's going to be on the DVD, animated.
The Black Freighter thing.
Yeah, none of that's in here. That's because it would have been an 18-hour-long movie.
Not only that, but I really don't think the Black Freighter has shit to do with the rest of the story.
And then again, he says, this is just a race to find this cape killer. And I don't think it's a race to find a cape killer. I think that's really narrow sight on what the movie is. I think the movie's way bigger than that if you open your mind to it.
I think he's kind of caught between his idea, his we all have the anybody that's read the book has the inability to go back and unread it.
Right.
To watch the movie with a clean palate. I think that's part of it. And, I think the other part is some of the marketing very much is going to drive the general public to this is a murder mystery about superheroes.
Yeah.
And the movie isn't, you're right in the standpoint that the movie isn't about that.
Yeah.
And the book isn't about that.
I don't think so.
But some of the marketing is directed towards that. So I think CG is hitting it from two different sides. Is that he wishes he could watch the movie without having read the book and kind of see what that experience is like. And at the same time, the way that they're marketing it towards the general public is that a murder mystery. And that I agree, that's not paying off for them. But, I mean, movies get marketed all the time as being one thing and they're something else.
Earlier, you said something about you didn't think that the Wang was prominent enough in the movie, the giant blue Wang.
it didn't stand out as much to me as I thought it was.
Apparently, you had to see it at IMAX because Terry feels that... where is it? Because Terry feels that Dr. M's floppy blue Wang had more screen time than Carla, whatever,
Cugino.
And so apparently you had to see it in IMAX. But then Dr. Genius, I've given him a doctorate now.
You're giving a doctor. You're taking him from the military into the medical course.
No, Captain Genius did comment on the girl that played Dr. Manhattan's chick was wicked hot as well.
Jenny Slater?
Yeah.
Hey, Jenny Slater.
And
Hey, Jenny Slater. If anybody knows what that's from, without looking it up, we'll send you something. You post in the comment section that what Hey Jenny Slater is from, you get something.
And then that's where Captain Genius and I agreed on people being hot.
Yeah, I thought she was attractive.
But really, you know, that whole argument with Captain Genius thing.
She kind of had a Sherilyn Finn, Twin Peaks kind of look about her.
That's really all I had to complain about. Other than the actual, we'll get into the discussion of the ending and the big changes that were made later. But, that does that. all right. So now we get to our friend V, who we love.
V.
let me first start off by saying I almost deleted the word petty. that came before superficial, but actually decided to leave it in there just to be an asshole.
Just to be a douche.
So, V, you totally caught that, sort of, maybe. But I'm glad you came back at me with it. I appreciated that. That was awesome. That made it all the better. But V was... okay, so basically, V didn't hate the movie, but had misgivings about it, had problems with it. And basically... Other than reading what's on the forum, here's what V has to say after watching the movie.
Yeah, what's up, guys? It's V. Greetings from the Great White North, that is Canada, more precisely Prince George, British Columbia. Don't ever come out here. It kind of sucks here. But anyway, just finished seeing Watchmen, and I actually kind of have mixed feelings about it. The acting from the female actors was kind of not that good. Some of the tweaks he made to the story, wasn't a big fan of those either. And I think he was pretty much spot on with Ozymandias, actually. Judging from the movie posters, I didn't think he'd be as good, but yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. And what else? Rorschach. Rorschach, total badass, of course. And what's his face? Night Owl. He wasn't bad either. But anyway, all in all, if I had to like give it a rating out of 5, I'd say, like, I don't know, 3.75 out of 5. Yeah, bring on the fanboy anger. We look forward to battling with you. Hope you guys have a good one. Bye.
And V has more to say now.
One more thing. It's V again. What is up with Zack Snyder and his excessively long sex scenes? He pulled the same thing in 300. Wasn't a fan of it. It was too over the top, especially when Night Owl and Silk Spectre or Lori, what have you, were in Archie right after the whole saving people from the fire scene. Come on, Zack. It's too much. Please. I don't want him directing another movie, to be honest. But anyway, yeah, that's it. Bye.
Okay. So,
and then what she has to say on the forum is kind of the same thing, but a little different.
Yeah, and then I will get into the little detailed, because V this morning did comment more after I made my douchebag comment that that I made. But I still feel that the big complaint on that sex scene being gratuitous and overly long, I still feel that is that's a superficial argument.
My point is
okay, that's not the argument. I totally take that back. Yeah. That's not the superficial argument. That is the argument of, hey, there was another sex scene later in the book, and they didn't show that one, so they just combined them both into one gratuitous sex scene. So take that. That's my argument.
That's your argument. Instead of eating two cheeseburgers, I'm going to pile them into one Dagwood sandwich.
Exactly.
And eat it that way.
Exactly.
I like boobies not as much as the next guy, more than the next guy. But that was unnecessary. And when I argue with you, I completely agree that the passion and whatever is, yeah. I don't disagree with your argument at all that yes, they would bang like that. My point is, just like with the violence, is that all of that on screen was not necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was digging in. And I didn't need to see it be, you know, a vivid video version of The Watchmen.
Yeah.
I just thought that, and, you know, the things that I would take out of the movie to a certain extent as far as pandering to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would be that sex scene would be cut in half.
It could have been cut in half. That would have shortened the movie.
And the violent scenes would have not been so much on camera.
As long as they still showed the boobies.
She's got some nice equipment.
Okay. So what? And then Terry had said something about, you know, the gratuitous whatever something. I don't know.
I wonder how those were on IMAX in the IMAX.
But the other argument is that what was it that God? What did
she didn't think there was any strong female characters?
Yeah. Okay. That was it. Overly. Alan Moore abhors women. So does Zack Snyder. Okay. Here's the argument this is what's superficial, because the female character, yes, treated like shit, not the strongest character, but like Brian said, neither are the fucking men.
Yeah.
Okay. The focus on the female characters being treated like shit is what I find to be superficial, because people in that fucking movie/book are treated like shit. They're all shitty. There's no strong male characters. There's no strong female characters. Everybody's crazy as fuck and no one's worth a shit.
I think, you know, I'll use the same thing as I said a minute ago, is I think Night Owl and Spectre are treated better in the movie than they are in the book. She could have been worse. Yeah. I think she's a much more petty, selfish character in the book than she is even in the movie. And I still stand by the fact that from the book and from the movie standpoint, in my mind, there is no good guy. There is no good person. There is no good character who is treated above being really questionable in the entire book except Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
And only because Manhattan is the only person not making 99% of his decisions based on emotions and mental deficiency.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that you said earlier today, is that he formulates his opinion and you can talk him out of it. He'll actually change what he's thinking because somebody gives him an argument to change. And he changes his mind and goes on other people's arguments multiple times in the book and in the movie.
Yeah.
He's the only character to do so except when they are faced with no other decision.
Yeah.
You know, except Night Owl and Spectre, who, you know, kind of begrudgingly go with the flow at the end of the movie.
Because they know there's nothing they can do about it, basically.
Yeah, that's their only turn point in that. Yeah. And I agree with you on that. You know, there are no good characters in that movie. There's nobody who's painted favorably, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The only two in the book.
Yeah.
In the book, nobody is painted as a favorable character. In the movie, as far as I'm concerned, the only ones that really come off well is Night Owl and Spectre. I think she comes off better than... Rorschach's a cool character. Mm-hmm. That's not a good person. Mm-hmm. That's somebody that's... killing dogs and mutilating criminals, you know, as means to his twisted end. You know, Ozzy thinks that he should be the guy to make an incredibly massive decision for all of humanity. Dr. Manhattan, you know, does not care about anything except, you know, very vague points of reference to him. Like, he still loves his old girlfriend, but not enough to stay with her because she was getting old.
Yeah.
You know, what guy doesn't feel that way? You know, he loves Spectre to a certain extent, enough to save the world for her or whatever.
Yeah.
But not enough to work, not enough to leave his laboratory to actually have sex with her. You know, he sends his duplicates or whatever, like he's Madrox banging the rest of his mutant team. You know, nobody in that book is a good person. Nobody comes off as a good person. So her argument is focusing on one character when four times as many male characters on screen are shittier people than she is. So I'll agree with her, but point out that everybody's bad.
Yeah.
So if she was a strong character, better character than she did, would be standing out that she was, because everybody else is an ass clown.
Yeah. And I also want to point out that when I said it's petty, I was leaving that in there. It is, however, superficial argument. And, you know, V had said, you know, it's just as much a reason to criticize that as anything else in the movie. And again, it's not the criticism that I find to be superficial. It's the argument
that is superficial. It's that one character above the other one.
Right. Okay.
And somebody may disagree with our kind of stance on it.
Yeah.
They may think that some of these characters have, you know, have some sort of redeeming qualities. In reading the book, I don't think the book is much a lot of people have always held this to be the Bible of, making fun of superheroes or of judging the superhero genre and stuff like that. I've never thought this was a superhero book. I always thought this book was laying judgment on how terrible human beings are, because the only person with superpowers is the only person that makes any sense in the entire book. It's the regular people making the horrible decisions and being the horrible, horrible people.
Yeah.
And I forgot where I was going with that. I don't think the judgment of not having solid character, I don't think any of them are solid characters.
Yeah.
So if somebody has an argument for that, why, you know, Ozzy or Night Owl or anybody else is a positive character and we're not getting it, holla back. But, but that's kind of our take on it.
Yeah, she also
I don't agree on anything.
Yeah, it's very odd. And she also brings up the point of the bad actressing thing again. And she says that the best female actress in the movie was the Vietnamese girl that gets shot, the pregnant Vietnamese girl. And what I have to say to that is, I mean, yes, she had lots of rage. But when the only emotion that you have to act is rage, check. And I mean, that's
everybody knows how to get mad.
Done. Okay. Yeah. She's full of rage. Ah, I'm angry. And that's the only fucking scene I'm in. You know,
well, I mean, to correspond again, let's compare Spectre's again. I think that because she cries and is so overly emotional in the book.
Yeah.
And there's none of that in the movie. I don't think you can point that to performance.
Yeah.
That's a editorial, directorial decision by somebody who, I mean, folks, look at this movie up and down, and whether you like it or not, I can't imagine, I mean, his director's cut aside, I can't imagine a movie release that anybody would do that would be more faithful to the subject matter than what Snyder was able to pull off.
Yeah.
So I can't help but believe her not being emotional
was a decision made.
Was what I don't think that was a she couldn't cry. You know, this isn't Second City where they're up on stage doing improv. If they wanted her to cry, they'd do enough takes until they got her to cry.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a performance decision. That's a directorial editorial decision. But hey, look at it this way. The crying scene with the comedian, I didn't buy that for a second. I thought that was really dead. I thought that, and I like that guy. That's the dad from Supernatural or whatever.
I'm just, you know, start
I thought some
that.
Of his stuff was flat.
Got season know? One right over there.
So, you know, I don't think I'll stand by the what we said earlier that Rorschach was great because he had to be.
Mm-hmm.
The movie fails miserably if audiences don't connect with Rorschach in one way or another.
Yeah.
Even if they turn on him at the revelation, the reveal that he's just as bad as everybody else,
mm-hmm.
even if they turn on him at that point, they're already invested in the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. But up to that point, they've got to be kind of on Rorschach's side. So he has to sell it. But, you know, I don't think those spectacular performances from anybody else.
Yeah.
So I think singling her out is just kind of, you know, V having a thing with that, which is fine. I'm not picking on you, V. I'm not. I think that's kind of, you know, to tie it back to Captain Genius's comments.
Yeah.
I think the murder mystery falls flat because, dude, you knew what was going to happen. I mean, honestly,
that's what I was wondering too.
And not know how it's going to end. That's why I never record a game I want to watch.
Yeah.
Because once I know what the you're always going to find out the score yeah. from somebody.
Oh, God, I've had
once
that
I
happen.
Know what the score is, why do I want to watch 3 hours?
Yeah.
When I know how it's going to end, because you can't enjoy the journey that way.
And that's the whole point.
Yeah. And for anybody that's read Watchmen completely and knows it, especially those of us that know it well,
mm-hmm.
that part is never going to be the same for you. It's not. You know where it's going.
It's like I said. I mean, I read Watchmen like 2 years ago or whatever. And I thought about reading it again before going to see the movie, and I decided it'd probably be best not to.
Yeah,
I stand by it because I mean, when I finished watching that movie, like I said, I went and I was like, I'm gonna flip through the book. I flipped through it, and everything I looked for fit just fine. I mean, they changed the order around a little bit of some things, you know, but I think they did a good job. Which I guess brings us to the ending. Okay, people who say that the ending sucked because there was no giant squid at the end, and how it was such a better ending with the giant squid than with like these Dr. Manhattan fusion bomb things. How does that make any sense at all? How does like a giant fucking squid appearing on Earth, how is that more relatable than a potential fusion bomb at like every major city in the world? How does that make more sense? And the only time it tied into the black whatever pirate story island thing, but so what?
The only thing that I will say to that end is the only attack that they show is New York City. And
but they show on the map every city, like in the map, Ozzy's map shows Tokyo, it shows Moscow, it shows LA.
But they don't show that it happened.
Did they have to?
Well, let me finish.
Again.
Right, you know, this is going to be a terrible reference. And feel free, anybody, to give me shit for it if you want to. I'll accept it. Let's relate this to 9/11.
Okay. Which I think it can
if
do.
If we were at war during 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Would we have gotten the same worldwide outcry of kind of love and support for that area if our enemies saw us being weaker, you know, to a certain extent? The kind of the way I look at that is if during the Cold World?
The
you know,
Ice
that
Age.
Movie with Brad Pitt and Kim Basinger animated.
God, that movie's awful.
If during the Cold War, one of our own devices that we were using to kill and fight other countries bit us in our own ass,
yeah,
would those other countries, would that turn the tide to them saying, oh, wait a minute, we're all human?
See,
See that, but the only thing that bothered me about it was that. And
here's, I have an argument for that. Go ahead.
If you use the alien analogy, then that's us as people,
right?
Humans against something completely different,
completely detached.
And granted, Dr. Midnight can be that because he's the only person that's powerful,
right?
But at the same time, Trump through that whole movie is he's America's only defense. He's why we're not going to get bombed. If that goes away, would the Soviets and Cuba be like, oh man, that's too bad. You know, can we help you out? Or would they be like, fuck it, let's bomb them right now?
Here's where he changed it. Here's where it changed. The whole feeling behind it changes. And okay, I have the easy argument of yes, he was America's weapon. But they showed him flip out on TV. He went away to Mars or wherever. He was gone for like, I don't know, a couple weeks.
In Uranus.
He was gone for a few weeks or something. Nobody knew where he was. Nobody knew what happened to him. Everybody knew that he was kind of like this weird loose cannon kind of thing because he flipped the fuck out on TV and all that. And the next time anybody sees him, in theory, because it's not really him, but next time anybody sees him, he's blowing the shit out of every single major city in America, in the world. Okay?
But he only did one of them.
He didn't. He blew up all of them. You just didn't see it.
Then how do I know he did it?
Because it was on the map, man.
They only showed New York, and they only showed the president reacting to what happened to them. I think they only did New
York. I think he blew up every single major city. It was on the map.
In the book, don't they only do New York?
I don't know.
I think they only did New York in the movie.
All I know is on his map, he was marked Tokyo, Moscow. All these major cities were marked to get blowed up. And that I think that they simultaneously blew up. I think it happened. I think it triggered and simultaneously blew up all those cities. I'd have to watch the movie to see if there's specifics that point to that, but that's the way I saw it. I saw all those cities simultaneously blowing up using this weapon.
I saw that he just did New York like the book.
All right. Well, I don't think that's what happened, but that's fine. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe I didn't see it right, and maybe that's why it makes more sense to me. Okay? In that theory, if all those cities blew up, my thing is, I don't see them banding together, and I even think that this was kind of mentioned in the book or in the movie. But I don't see them banding together to fight and defeat Dr. Manhattan. I see them banding together because they don't want Dr. Manhattan to do it again. I think they did it out of fear. I don't think they did it out of camaraderie and joining to fight an outside source.
Well, that's my problem with movies like Independence Day.
Yeah.
I don't see that as the world banding together, you know, either.
Yeah.
It's The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. Not, okay, I like you now.
Right.
It's, yeah, I can't beat this guy, neither can you.
Yeah.
And we need to somehow, maybe we can do it together sort of a thing. It's a short-lived peace.
That's how the fighting the alien is. But again, with the Dr. Manhattan thing, I think it was out of fear. I don't think they went there and shook hands and everything because they're like, oh, we're friends now because because New York or whatever got blown up and Dr. Manhattan we're going to fight him next time. Because I think they know they can't beat Dr. Manhattan, but I think it's out of fear. I think the reason they made a big show and they shake hands and everything is to say, okay, we agree now. Let's not do that again because that sucked. That's what I got out of it. I mean, maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, but that's how I interpreted it.
Well, I think part of what we're talking to, you know, is kind of book related in that even the guy who thinks he's the smartest man in the world is short-sighted in that stopping the aliens or stopping Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
That you're not actually solving anybody's differences.
Yeah.
You're only giving them a common enemy, mm-hmm. and a common enemy that is not going to be constant.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to wage war on the world indefinitely so that the world will be together against whatever you're doing, then, you know, use a natural disaster instead of 9/11. Everybody felt bad as shit when
Hurricane Katrina?
Yes, exactly. Everybody felt horrible for that area when that happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of that public outcry is rebuilding New Orleans. No. I'm not saying they should. Let's not get off on a political tangent with anybody, because we all know I'm a bastard and I don't really care. But when you
have not true people don't believe it.
Then you know the immediate attention is given, the immediate money or funding and heartache and tributes and all that kind of stuff are done.
Yeah.
But eventually that stuff goes away and it goes right back to the real world.
Which to me is why it makes more sense to make the fear of Dr. Manhattan the reason for peace, because Dr. Manhattan doesn't age. He's going to be around probably forever. He's chilling on Mars. Well, you know,
they don't know. Nobody knows the conversation that he has.
Yeah.
That says that he's going to another galaxy. As far as they know, he's hanging out waiting to blow something else up.
Yeah. And he can change. He can warp anywhere. He can change the way he looks. All these things can happen. I mean, that makes more sense. That's why they would band together, out of fear, not out of companionship. And that's camaraderie. That's my argument, and I think it's a damn good one. And fuck y'all for not believing it.
I don't know.
But then again, that theory does go on the idea that every major city got blown up. I mean, if it was just New York, then that kind of hurts the theory. But the way I saw it is that he blew them all up.
I don't.
It just showed New York.
I don't have a problem with the ending. I don't. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem I have with the ending is Owlman being present for Rorschach getting splattered and doing the Darth Vader. No.
Yeah.
Obviously, I never thought they were going to try to do the giant squid alien thing.
Well, I think we all knew that.
Yeah,
because
I always thought there would be some sort of change made.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with this change at all, because you're, you know, turning their weapon against them, having something again that the threat has not ended, sort of a situation, which I guess with the alien thing, they didn't know that that had ended either. They didn't know that there wasn't going to be other big ugly squids popping up from someplace else. But I never thought that was going to be. I never thought that was going to be the case. I never thought they were going to use that same ending. I don't have a problem at all with that ending. I don't find it any less
right
hokey or unrealistic or anything else as I do the one in the movie. You know, some of the changing around at the ending, like Night Owl going outside and seeing his buddy get smashed up, and then coming in to try to beat up Ozzy again, and then you know, some of that back and forth, and you know, Adam's mad that didn't get a second sex scene. Some of that stuff, and like some of those conversations are switched around.
Yeah, and that actually bothers me more than anything.
Yeah,
because
some of that changing was like, all right,
why
did you switch that? Was that necessary? Sort of
because like Dr. Manhattan saying, well, maybe I'll make some life or something. He says that to Silk Spectre instead of to Ozzy,
right?
And like the cool thing about that, like they're having this conversation. Freaking Night Owl and Silk Spectre are humping on the floor, and
which goes back to my theory that the movie set out to make those two the heroes of the story.
Yeah,
because that wouldn't be viewed as proper right. if they said, "Man, that's crazy. Want to fuck?"
Yeah. You know? But while they're doing that,
cooler though.
While they're doing that, Ozzy and what the Ozzy Maya,
they didn't want to build
Mantis.
The pool.
Yeah,
that's what it came down to. But they didn't want to build the pool on the set.
They're having a conversation, and he's saying, I did make the right choice, right? And this is after he's already convinced Dr. Manhattan that he did, and this was the only way to do it. And then in the book, he's like, you know, that's the right choice, isn't it? And basically, Dr. Manhattan just boop.
Yeah, he says something about it, you know, that nothing ends or something.
Yeah,
like
nothing
that,
ever ends, and then he just disappears.
Which I guess to a certain extent, again, they wanted to more villainize, I guess, Adrian.
Yeah.
By having him not question himself at all.
Which I think hurt the movie. Because, well, now we're getting to the very end, which I kind of do disagree with. I have no problem with the explosions in the Earth, like, joining forces or whatever the fuck that is. But I do have a problem with the very end where they wanted to keep him villainized and not make him human. I mean, it was a very... he's a very smart, and he made a huge decision that, like... who knew if it needed to be made or not? Who knows? But
in the book, he cries.
Yeah.
He's very
human.
Emotional about having succeeded because he thinks he's basically saved the world.
He's very human. And I think by villainizing him, you take away the humanity. And here's my my comparison to this is a lot of times in what we tend to do is we villainize people in history, like Hitler. Like, people call Hitler a demon. You know, well, no, but here's the thing. No, I'm not defending Hitler, okay?
We should have like a poll. Which is worse, me using 9/11 or Adam or Adam Adam's discussion of Hitler as a villain in history?
Okay, no, the thing is, Hitler is a villain. Don't get me wrong there. But what it is we demonize Hitler. We call him like the devil incarnate. We call him like this demon, but he's not. He was a fucking man. He was a man with a lot of power who made some serious fucking fucked up decisions. And he killed a lot of people. And he was a fucking human that did that. He wasn't some fictional character. This really happened. And I think the same thing with like Ozzy at the end of that, making that decision and making him not human and not weep and not question it, just completely fucked that whole thing and took any emotion away from it it should have had.
He was much more...
And I think that's where they fucked up in the end.
Like, if you give... Here's two things with that that I'm not saying doesn't support it. I'm just find interesting. In the book, it's Rorschach that goes to warn Ozymandias about the, you know, cape killer that he suspects. In the movie, it's Night Owl. Dan goes to warn him.
Yeah.
And at the end, when Dan has this little temper tantrum, Adrian doesn't respond. He kind of lets him get it out, kind of like, I deserve this, or you deserve to be mad, kind of a thing. So I'll let you pound on me a little bit, even though 5 minutes ago I was kicking your ass all over the place.
Yeah.
So to a certain extent, they built some kind of friendship between the two of them that wasn't there in the original book.
Yeah.
Because in the original book, it seemed like that character views himself as so far above everybody but Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives him a little bit more humanity in that fashion. But
true.
But I do agree with you. He never questions, to me in the movie, he never questions that what he was doing was wrong. He says something about how he feels every death or he has a little speech or whatever.
I've set myself up to feel every death.
Yeah,
or
but
something.
There's no emotion to it, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't even, does he even say, here's something, when he sacrifices his cat thing, Scooby-Doo, to kill
He does apologize. Midnight. He does say, I'm sorry.
Does he?
He in the movie.
Oh, because in the book, he's like, he's upset about it. He's like, I'm really sorry that I'm having to sacrifice you to do this.
He says something like, I'm sorry, my friend. I'm sorry to sacrifice you, my friend, or it's a necessary sacrifice. He does say that. Brennan from Richards, Brennan, it's funny, he actually pointed out that I have to say it three times every time. But he had pointed out that it kind of sucks because with the whole squid thing, like he was surrounding himself with genetic engineers. And that's how he made his little Scooby-Doo guy, was through the genetic engineers. But in this one, he's surrounding himself with like fusion and scientists like that.
So molecular science. Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, exactly. So he was kind of bothered by that.
Actually, he's more of a Marmaduke.
I'll
agree with you there. That maybe the little payoff could have been him questioning himself more. But again, I think that plays right into my theory.
Well, and then also
that the only people that the movie people wanted to come off good is Spectre and Night Owl.
And to support that even is the discussion that Dr. Manhattan does have with creating life is with Silk Spectre as he's basically thanking her for helping him to make this decision or whatever the hell it is.
Helping him to, she helped him appreciate human life.
Yeah.
Helped him appreciate human life instead of the incident.
Yeah.
Instead of the everything that had happened forming his new opinion, it was her.
Yeah. And then having that discussion, maybe I'll make some life and all that, that again supports her as being this hero character instead of just, because in the book, I'm pretty sure like they go fuck on the floor and he just watches them and then walks away.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, that's how that, like, he's like, oh, okay.
That's one of the things about him being detached is he was just like, and also his time paradox thing. Why get upset about it when I know that's going to happen?
Yeah. Moving a little bit further into the very end of the movie now.
On to the sequel.
Is the discussion what Silk Spectre has with her mommy about who her daddy is. Way too much emotion in that scene. I was so happy during this movie. Up through the part where I didn't even start thinking about the villainization or whatever of of Adrian or any of that stuff. I didn't start thinking of any of that even until like yesterday or the day before. The part that really killed me, because I was super happy. I was like, wow, they killed Rorschach. All this stuff that was supposed to happen happened. It was a little different, but it still blew shit up. A lot of people died, blah, 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 blah. And still negative, 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 which is what it was supposed to be. And then they go into this sappy-ass scene with, like, I know who my daddy is, and I know why, and I understand now, and I love Night Owl, and I are going to be humping for the rest of our lives.
And we're going to be Batman and Batgirl.
Yeah, we're going to have our duo. And that fucked everything. I mean, it didn't kill a movie because I still enjoyed it, but I really wish that that did not happen because the end of that book is so flat. It's just a, hey, afterwards, here's
and
what
really,
happened.
I think it could have done without it in the book.
Yeah.
Like, for me, the book or the movie would be better served.
Just even leave all that
to
out.
To go straight from the party breaking up in Antarctica to
the Rorschach journal scene at the
Rag newspaper.
And I do take it back. I only recognized one person in that movie. The overweight gentleman at the end.
Jack Black.
That's not Jack Black. No. At the end of that movie is actually on the sci-fi show Eureka.
Jack Black.
Who I recognize as well. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
thankfully they still did that.
If I thought that they would actually do it,
mm-hmm.
I would say that the ending of the movie and the tweaking of those characters was set up for a Night Owl, Silk Spectre, Watchmen 2, The Return of Dr. Manhattan movie. If this wasn't such a huge deal,
electric
and
blue
a huge property,
glue.
It would not surprise me at all. Let's. How can we do a sequel?
One thing that's
Watchmen 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I actually said Bloogaloo because it's Return of Dr. Manhattan, but that which was even worse. But so that is my journey to the end of that movie. One thing I would like to point out that Brennan or John down at Richards pointed out, I can't remember which scene it is, but one of the scenes where during some sort of fight scene or something, when the number gets knocked off the hotel or the door.
Yeah.
And
oh, it's three.
And it says 300.
No, he throws the coffee cup.
Yes, that's what it is.
And it goes through the door and I groaned.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I did not notice that. It got pointed out to me.
But speaking of Brendan and John,
yes,
and also Richard.
Yes,
let's go to some other comments we have about what some other people thought about the movie after having seen it.
Yes. All right, I'm now here with Brendan of Richard's Comics and Brendan of Richard's Comics and Collectibles. Brendan, what did you think of Watchmen the movie?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was very, very good. There were a couple scenes where I could see how the fanboys would not appreciate the squid not being in there, you know, stuff like that, but whatever. It was a good movie on its own, regardless of being a comic book movie.
So is that all you got?
Pretty much. There was the casting also was really, really good. Rorschach especially I thought was perfect. I don't think you could have picked a better cast, really. So I don't know. I was immensely pleased.
John, what did you think of watching the movie?
I liked it. I agree with Brendan's take on it as well. I think there's some aspects of the movie that we who read it would appreciate, whereas like I had a guy sitting beside me who had never read it, and so there's things he was like, what does that mean? So I can give it as that some fanboys out there will love it and the random public won't, but it's a movie made for us anyway, so fuck them.
Is there anything you guys didn't like about it?
It was a lot more violent than I thought it would be.
Richard, go. Watchmen.
Went to the movie, the premiere thing. It was terrific. They actually, as far as I'm concerned, they emulated the trade paperback perfectly. The characters, they were who I thought they would be. That was it was like watching the trade truly come to life on the screen. Zack Snyder is slowly moving up to one of my second best director, maybe first best, for actually emulating comics. He apparently has determined that if the book is popular enough to invest millions of dollars into doing the film, let's do it like the book. Zack Snyder did a great job. As a matter of fact, Alan Moore, if you're listening to this, Alan, and I'm sure you listen to Dollar Bin regularly, you should go see this film. After you're done seeing this film, you will go find Zack, shake his hand, and tell him that's the best you possibly could have done. You know, no literary work, perhaps ever, can be perfectly put to film. But he did the best job possible. It was a great film. You know, and I'll be honest, I'm not a major Watchmen fan. It's kind of a slow read. Not a lot of action, a little depressing at parts, but all of that was carried forth in the film. You know, I was looking forward to seeing the DVD and the extended version or whatever. To be honest with you, I'm not sure what's going to be the extended version that I care about. You know, the pirate sub-story, heck, I skipped that when I was reading the trade in the beginning. I didn't keep up with it. I thought the film was great. It's well worth it. If you liked Watchmen, you will love the film.
So all in all, a lot of positive reactions, a lot more than I expected. I was expecting a very balanced negative and positive, and we got way more positives than I thought we would get. Even the people that complained about the movie said it wasn't a bad movie.
I'm going to be interested to continue to hear what non-comic book people have to say, because that's going to be the bulk of the audience if this movie makes money.
Yeah.
And since it's already making
majority
money,
of people that see this movie are going to not have read Watchmen.
Yeah.
Even comic book people haven't, obviously, as we've learned with J. Chris Campbell, read Watchmen.
Chris Campbell. But I've been surprised. My thought process going into it, I guess, was that comic book fans were going to find reasons to have a problem with this movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I'm not saying I didn't think that I was going to be among them.
Yeah, I did. But
you thought that I was.
No, I thought you were gonna have fun. I honestly did not think you were going to like it. Like when I was talking to Sean, I was like, here's what I predict. I predict we're going to do this show. Devin's not going to be violently ill. Devin's gonna love it. I'm gonna like it a lot. And Brian's just gonna have like all these things about it that he hated. And man, you proved me wrong, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, like what I've said to a couple of people is the only stuff I felt like I was missing from it was what I felt nitpicky stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, like I didn't like the over. I thought it was too violent.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was overdone, but that didn't make me. This sucks.
Uh-huh.
I thought the sex scene was too much, but that doesn't make me judge the movie on a whole. And like my third nitpick would be, I didn't get what I wanted out of the Dr. Manhattan on Mars scene. And again, it's not that scene wasn't still good.
It's still a beautiful scene.
Yeah,
the scene was
still good. I just wanted the full monologue and I didn't get it. And that's being really fucking fanboy nitpicky.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'll have to watch it again to really know if I think it's a keep or whatnot.
Yeah.
And that probably won't happen until the director's cut. But I have no reason to say that this wasn't a worthwhile movie and worth my time and money.
I think it was the very first thing that Terrence asked me when he was quizzing me about what's in the movie and what I thought of it. The very first thing he asked me was, does Rorschach eat beans? This is the very first. That's like what he was mostly. That's what he wanted. Does Rorschach eat beans? That's all. Just look. If he doesn't, that movie sucks. And I was like, yes, Terrence, Rorschach does eat
beans.
And
I'm surprised Terrence liked it. I am really surprised that it was that much of an homage.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, I mean, there's stuff that is directly from the fucking page.
Yeah, that's one thing.
I mean, like, him eating beans.
Yeah.
That's pretty much that conversation, you know, verbatim, like it's laid out.
The conversation that Rochelle made is she felt that she'd already watched the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie before.
Which kind of goes back to my, you know, I didn't notice it like CG said that he did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just kind of my thought on that.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that I'm arguing with him.
Yeah.
It's just that you can't go back and not know something.
I guess I didn't really have as many arguments as I thought I did with him either.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know.
And a couple things.
I don't know. I don't think they could have layered a mystery that I knew the answer to that would made me feel like it was a mystery to me.
I liked Watchmen. I will definitely, probably... maybe by the extended director's cut. I'm looking forward to the animated thing. I think it comes out like March 24th or something.
The Black Freighter thing?
Yeah.
You think you will buy that?
No, I'm looking forward to it, but I don't think I'm going to buy it.
I'm looking forward to it being in a store.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to the store to buy it. Well, you're certainly not going to go to Blockbuster to rent it.
No, I will borrow it from Devin because I think Devin's guaranteed to buy that one.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So the Black Freighter thing doesn't really do anything for me. It doesn't jingle my bells.
Devin loved it.
And I'm not going to buy like the motion comic thing. I have, you know, have copies of the actual comic.
I'm going to borrow that from Sinlock, Danny.
Danny boy. The pipes are calling ye. Yeah, I mean, I'll have interest in the director's cut to just see what else is there, to see what he would have done if he had completely free reign with making a miniseries.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
see what he would have done if he, you know, you can certainly make the argument
when I can pause it and pee and then come back and watch it.
You can certainly make the argument that they could have Kill Bill'd this thing.
Yeah,
and made two movies.
Could have. Kill Bill was a success, and it got cut in half.
I wonder what would be.
They successfully cut that in half. I didn't even think about that. Kill Bill was successfully cut in half.
I wonder what would be your stopping point.
Damn it.
Maybe Manhattan doing Leave Me Alone and going to Mars, and that ends your first movie?
Maybe. I mean, well, the funny thing, like, this is all going to be supplemental, I'm sure, but...
We only have 8 hours for the show now.
Yeah. Most of it's just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
The thing is, they reordered the movie. The movie's in a different order than the book.
Yeah.
A lot of it is. Well, the book jumps around through time a lot, too. But if you could have probably reordered it and then successfully cut it, or maybe even the way it is, cut it in half, I don't know.
We don't know where the additional material lies.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say,
I was just
too.
Thinking of like a point that would make a good stop the movie point. And start another one.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me that... Him leaving the planet with the clock continuing to tick and coming back to him, the scene that's you know,
starting out with your scene.
the opening of the movie with Blake dying and Rorschach doing the monologue was a great opening. It was one of the best opening sequences to a movie I've seen recently.
Yeah.
Doing a more full version of him on Mars
would
have been a great way to open the second monologue. Kind of the same thing.
It does it through time.
Show a montage of him. He's gone from Earth. Everybody's freaking out. Then... Hey, let him have his monologue and go with movie two.
It's a Watchmen montage.
Montage.
But, I mean, that could have... Man, why didn't you make it two movies? It could have been done. It worked with Kill Bill. Asshole. The end.
I'm not sure this show has an end.
I think we kind of ended it with the fact that we like...
like an hour ago.
We did. we liked the movie. And if we have any more comments left that we haven't played... here they go.
Give us your thoughts either in this comment section or there's an ongoing thread on the board.
Yep.
For comments as well. Let us know. Come by the site. Let us know what you think. Look at all the other fancy doodads and videos and thingamabobs and whatchamacallits on the site while you're there.
Yeah, I know people are watching the videos. Why isn't anybody commenting on the videos?
Other than you hate us.
I feel really, that kind of upsets me a little. But that's okay. We are going to have been at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find last Monday.
Yes. Speaking of Matt Fraction.
Go back in time and check us out there.
Meet us at Heroes 2 days ago.
Yes, we recorded. We recorded.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. The Matt Fraction. It's the Invincible Iron Man discussion group at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find.
Yes.
Up in Charlotte. Led by Andy Mansell. And lots of people are going to be there. And at some point, we're calling Fraction or Fraction's calling the store. And we're going to talk to Fraction himself, the writer of Invincible Iron Man.
Grill him for all he's worth.
And that will be...
about why... Pepper Potts is Oracle.
That will be on our show eventually, or on our site, I guess. It will be a show because, you know, we're getting a lot lazier.
Although we're pretty much still posting things to say. Like at some point, we promised you that we weren't going to post stuff every week, and we're still posting stuff every week. So basically, we're liars.
More than
anything, we're liars. Or it's obvious that we don't know what we're doing. From week to week. So, all the more reason for you to come by the site to see if there's anything there. Because you never know. We got 3 shows out of our last show in Charlotte. Who knew that was going to be 3 straight weeks of posting?
I've got videos galore. I'm posting a video a week. Pretty much every Thursday night I post a video.
Plus we have like our quick hit section.
Yeah.
You know, we had links to a Watchmen game you could play.
Yeah.
News about Green Lantern animated project that's getting ready to come out.
We have a Dollar Bin comic book theater coming up soon.
Yeah.
That'll be in the quick hit section. Also, go to bradmcginty.com. He has started posting his animated shorts, and they are freaking hilarious. Solvable mysteries. I'm out.
Can we have a supper lunch? Is that what it is?
Yes, yeah, supper lunch.
Have a supper. We have time for a quick supper lunch.
Next message.
Hello, Dollar Band. This is Ted. Calling back just a minute after having a chance to look at Watchmen. It's about 1:54 a.m. on a Friday night, so of course I had nothing better to do than to give a message for you guys. Just saw the movie with Terrence, and we spent like a nice little 20 minutes having a debriefing session outside, you know, had all the disapproving looks of the normal people as they came out, you know, here to come up with being teared apart, but I will say, and I will try not to spoil anything for anyone that's seen it, I will say that I was incredibly impressed by that movie. We actually had a conversation, which we like better, Dark Knight or this one, and I think I may have been alone out of our fourth, and I can't remember, I think Terrence's brother may have been on my side, but I like Watchmen better. I thought it was great execution of what I thought was a stunning task of taking, you know, one of the, you know, most read, most discussed, and most dissected comic, well, you know, graphic novels, however pretentious you want to be with it, well, comic books that anyone has ever written, and they took it, tackled it, and I thought they did it excellently. Again, trying to stay away from my spoiler theme, but I really thought that the ending of the movie was better than the book. I did not like the way the book tied things up. I think the movie was a neater pack, and I actually thought it introduced an entirely new emotional wrinkle that was absent from the book, and so I liked the ending better. The nits I would have about the movie, Richard Nixon looked horrible. Just absolutely horrible. I would have rather had like a face in the camera present or voice only over or a heavy shadow over it. And it was just so distractingly bad. The other problem I had, I thought the fight scenes, they're entertaining. And they're well choreographed, well executed. But I think the characters were a little too Mortal Kombat. A little too many flips and perfectly timed spins, and you know, until the final minutes of the movie, I don't think the main characters took a single blow, which was a little distracting, a little unrealistic. I know. Terrence got on me about this. You know, I'm looking at a movie where you see a 75-foot Dr. Manhattan, and I'm talking about believable fight scenes. But, you know, give me a reason to suspend my belief and disbelief. And, you know, I don't think it was done. But, again, two tiny nits on my part, and I loved everything from, you know, the voice acting for Dr. Manhattan. You know, it just was such a contrast with this powerful godlike figure to have this very soft, almost meek voice behind it. Just filled with emotion. That, you know, maybe it was too emotional, you know, for him to be so detached, but just incredible. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and one of my concerns about the movie translating over was that, you know, when the book came out, it was, you know, extremely shocking compared to what everyone else had seen, people had seen in comic books at the time. By the time I read it, which was about 2 years ago, nothing really shocked me as a book, just because I had seen it in modern comics before. But one of the things I was worried about was that, okay, how is this movie going to shock anyone? Because people that have seen, you know, people that even just had, you know, very limited exposure to comic book characters, to see, like, this model character. You've seen Spider-Man 2, you've seen a character, you know, in pain, and a character, you know, I was worried that it wouldn't be shocking, and I was proved totally wrong, because there were moments in this film where I was really shocked by what I was seeing on the screen. It was extremely visceral. They pushed the envelope on everything they could. It was extremely violent and gory, which is awesome. Sexual scenes were, again, very strange. I want to say I felt like they were bucking an R into an NC-17. It was pretty powerful stuff, but it worked. there was a little too much guy ass in the movie. That kind of bothered me a little. There's a little, you know, I won't ruin it. Well, I'll ruin it for you. Just expect to see a little Dr. Manhattan paint, because you'll be familiar with that. I'm pretty sure Sean enjoyed that. She's a big paint fan. But again, I'm getting cut off. So I guess that's it for me. Again, go see the movie. It was awesome. It was great. You'll love it. Bye.
End of message. Next message.
This clip, same night, about 10 minutes later, I just thought of a couple more things I wanted to say. One is that I neglected to mention that the movie may have had, well, the greatest opening montage, opening credits kind of scene I've ever seen. The whole time, I was, like, elbowing Terrence, pointing at things, like, laughing, just being shocked by some of the things that were shown. There was one image in particular, again, I don't want to ruin it for people, that was just utterly unbelievable, just how risky it was, and it blew me away. It, again, that scene alone had me sold on the movie. If I would have picked, like, I think Terrence said, and I'll give him credit for the line, I would have paid admission to see that. Just that alone. It was unbelievable. That's one thing. The other thing I wanted to mention was, in my ringing endorsement of the movie, I just want to make clear that I'm not trying to come out and go way too far and say that the movie is better than the book. I actually have heard that somewhere before. Two totally different mediums. It's really hard to compare as a whole. But now, the ending is something different. I think I said in the first message, I definitely like the ending of the movie. But I think in the movie also, just maybe because time constraints, just maybe because of different focus of the movie, I don't think the sense of foreboding you got from the pending nuclear holocaust was really there as it was in the book. I mean, just the subtle images, you know, in between chapters of just seeing the clock edge closer to midnight, I think it added a different layer of foreboding, and I think it was more fleshed out in the book than what was possible in the movie. So it's hard to relay. I definitely, you know, book is a much more, I think it's too much more to the book than it is the movie to actually compare the two.